Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning. Well, this week, Delta is the culprit. And as we speak, is moving through north and central Louisiana, headed on east, pretty much out of our hair along the lower coastal areas, but has already wreaked some havoc and damage to infrastructure as it moves across the land. It makes you kind of wonder, what's ahead next week? Pandemics, tropical storms, hurricanes of all natures. We need to shake out of this thing, and hopefully 2020 will end up a whole lot better than it started. Anyway, we'll worry about next week next week. Today we're going to check out the impact from the latest hurricane making landfall. And as far as the fishing goes today, well, there's going to be very few exceptions for places to fish, maybe in some ponds or wind-protected areas, non-flooded waters. But other than that, going to be pretty tough for any saltwater fishing. Waters up high from the storm surge are going to be muddy conditions in most areas and probably pretty unsafe as those winds are still humping pretty good along the coast. We do have some hunting seasons open, bow hunting and small game hunting. Don't see any reason why you couldn't get out and take part in that this afternoon. We also have a growing list of area and event closures and postponements, and one event not canceled is the Louisiana CCA Star Awards Banquet. That's set for next Wednesday night. We're going to talk to Director Rad Trasher, give you the details on that and how to get tickets and information about that big event. Another event that escaped the COVID and storm, that was last weekend, headquartered at Mandeville. I've got the final results for you. And then maybe one of the most unusual announcements I've ever made to come out of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. They're asking Louisiana hunters to be aware of escaped pen-raised deer and exotics resulting from storm damage to enclosures. I'll tell you what to look for to identify them and what action to take if you encounter them. And you might be surprised to find out what that action is. We also are going to have a preview of what's on this week's Bayou Wild TV episode and also what we recorded this week. Pretty busy. Got some future episodes coming up and give you a little sneak preview of what you'll see. Finally, for your listening pleasure, come on, admit it, you really enjoy those bad boys of the outdoor stories. This morning we have the case of a bogus charter captain. And remember to comment. Questions are welcome. Anything to talk outdoors, you can text us a message at 504-260-1870. Always welcome your text messages in on a Saturday morning. Well, we're going to have some live reports of conditions of infrastructure. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of damage to the eastern, but as you move west, central part of the state, going to be some flooding problems. And certainly, you know, our prayers and thoughts with those folks in the Cameron Creole area. Just a couple of weeks apart, yet another hurricane takes almost the exact same path. Well, looking at your forecast, and if this is any kind of a forecast, 60% chance of rain today for the morning. And looking at the radar, you know, if you're south of Alexandria and those areas, you're pretty much out of the rainfall. But there's a real heavy band that's trailing up from the Gulf. It was really disassociated from the hurricane, and it was training through the Pascagoula-Biloxi area. Well, it's finally starting to move east, but it's got a long tail on it extending down into the Gulf, and that's where some of the most intense weather system is. So be careful if you're in that area. It's going to be sweeping across Mobile Bay pretty soon and eventually into the Florida Panhandle and then up north once it gets out of the Gulf. But south winds offshore at 20 to 25 knots, 8 to 12-foot seas. Nobody can fish in that. Pretty much the same situation for tomorrow. A little lighter winds. They'll be changing direction, becoming southwest, probably 3 to 5-foot seas tomorrow. But by Monday, things should certainly be almost back to normal. I got a fishing trip coming up Monday myself. All right, and inshore waters today, southwest winds 15 to 20, very choppy conditions. Tomorrow, lower those wind speeds, southwest wind about 5 to 10, producing a light chop. Your Mississippi River 4.3 and continuing to fall. Wide tide range, but tides are so high, it is going to be rocking and rolling out of there a little bit later on this morning and all afternoon. 1.4 is your average tide range. With high tides already stacked up, going to be a lot of movement headed south and get out of some. In fact, some of our fishing reports may come from some neighborhoods. Some streets look like they had some speckled trout and redfish swimming in them. Anyway, you got to laugh to keep from crying when stuff's like this. We'll be back and kick off our reports, our text messages, and all that stuff you and I love to talk about each and every Saturday morning right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Storms, depressions, hurricanes, social unrest, the fish survive through it all, and that's what we pursue here on this program. Let's talk to Robbie Campo down at Shell Beach. And Robbie, you know, this game of Russian roulette, man, we hit another empty chamber. How long can this go on, my friend?
You know, Don, we feel very fortunate this morning, you know, that we have something to come back to. You know, there's going to be so many people in Cameron and, you know, in West Louisiana, it's not going to have anything to come back to. But I tell you what we do have. The water is across the road on the Florissant Highway. Today is not your day to come fishing. Now, the water is probably a foot lower in the bayou, but the water is coming from the Delacroix side. This wind is blowing out of southwest. It's blowing probably 15, 20 miles an hour, I guess, this morning. This is not your morning to come fishing. As I was coming down here, there was alligators on the road and nothing else. You know, it's not deep, but you do not want to have to drive through this to come down here to come fishing. And besides, I don't have any live bait anyway. I thought today would be the day we could bring some stuff back, but we didn't get any water on the road yesterday, and today it seems like we got it. So if you thought you was going to come down here to come fishing, just turn around and go home, because clean your tackle box or something. Just do something. Take the wife out to eat or something. A honey-do list, do it, because today's just not the day. I mean, it's, you know, yesterday we didn't have any water on the road and we got it today. So, and it'll probably fall off of the highway here sometime throughout the day, Don, but it's crossing the road pretty good. And it's come up, I guess it's coming up probably another 2 inches since I got down here this morning. I'm driving back through it right now so I don't get stuck down here. So, you know, it's getting deeper. So it's definitely coming from the Delacroix side. And if you do come down here, just take caution, drive slow, because the water is on the road.
Robbie, what is the best source of information for somebody to find out when the roads are all clear and the water's gone down? I think high tide in your area is about 7:42 this morning. So until then, it's going to keep coming up. And then finally, if that wind direction and speed gives up a little bit and that tide starts to roll out of here, it'll clear up. And if people want in a hurry to get down there and put their boats and their RVs back in there, what is the best source? Should they call the parish operations center or check with the St. Bernard Police Department? Who takes care of monitoring the roads and opening and closing down there?
Well, I we have a checkpoint up here on the highway by the flood wall, Don, but if you want to call somebody, I'll keep everybody posted because, you know, I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook and so forth and so on through, you know, when the water's going to be on the road, off the road or whatever, if you don't have Facebook, just call us, you know, call us by the marina. We'll tell you if the roads are clear to come back down. We'll be glad to give you that answer. I mean, they don't call me the mayor of Shell Beach for anything. Look, my line's open. You can just call me and find out. You know? I'll be glad to tell you what's up. You know what I mean? So I'll be glad to leave a phone number with you, Don, just so they can call and find out.
Yeah, well, there may be something on the website, too. You know, the parish may be put some posting on it. If you go to St. Bernard Parish Government or, you know, do a search for that, they might be able to have some latest information there. Well, listen, if you need a campaign manager for your next election for mayor, I know this guy named R.J. Boudreaux, and I think he'd be dynamite for you.
Yeah, right on, right on, yeah. But anyway, Don, like I said, you know, I'd be glad to leave our phone numbers, and, you know, as soon as the water gets off of the road here, you know, and like I said, we're going to post it on Facebook. We're going to have it, you know, we'll let you know, we'll let the public know what's going on. Most everybody's got Facebook nowadays, so they, you know, I mean, everybody keeps up with that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's coming from the Delacroix side, not, you know what I mean? Back of Reggio, that water's piled up back there, and it is crossing the highway. The water is rolling out of the bayou at Shell Beach. I mean, southwest wind is pumping it out, but I guess it's just piling that water up through this, you know, through the swamp here, and it's crossing the road. They do have the little shell dam up over here by in Florence Hall by the levee. They built that little makeshift levee, which they do all the time just in case this event happens, and well, we're getting it today. So, like I said, and Don, if you want, I'll leave our phone numbers and we'll just tell the people what's going on, but I wouldn't drive through this water to come fishing.
Now, tomorrow's another day. Things will be totally different tomorrow, and we'll get the fishing back, and hopefully this is the last of the storms for this year, and we can get into some good fall fishing, because, you know, generally when this happens, when those high tides come up, those storm tides, the fishing is really good for a few days after that, you know, and then we'll start getting our regular frontal systems that pass through, and, you know, everybody knows how to deal with those. You know, you fish ahead of them and then a couple days behind them and take advantage of them. Robbie, if you want to give out a phone number, go ahead and do it. Go ahead.
All right, you can call us at Erico 504-239-6377, or you can call us at Erico 504-239-5165.
Got it. Okay, Rob, another one down, my friend. Looking forward to better information next week. Y'all be careful. Down there.
All right, Don. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Robbie Campo at Shell Beach, Campo's Marina. All right, when we come back, I'm going to run down some closures for you, a list that I've gotten, and hopefully some of these will be reopening very soon. Too many closures this year. Just so many banquets and tournaments and rodeos canceled, postponed. 2020 got to be about the worst year for that, but the fishing and the hunting goes on. A lot of other things don't, but that does. We're back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have a list of closures to pass along to you. Now, these were closed earlier in the week in anticipation of the Hurricane Delta, and some of these may be reopening, others may remain closed, but if I get an official word on it, I will pass that along. But according to latest information, I have Elmer's Island closed on Thursday at 8 a.m. And as far as I know, continues to be closed. And until we get further notice, we'll let you know about that. May not even be accessible. Not sure what the water condition is on Highway 1. Hoping to get that a little bit later on from our field reporters. We have some shooting ranges that are operated by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. And this is a very popular time for people to go to the ranges, do some tune-up with their shotguns, sight their rifles and scopes in. These are closed right now. Pearl River and Honey Island Swamp, the Bodcaw Shooting Range, and also the one up in Woodworth. Those are all closed right now. There are some WMA, Wildlife Management Areas, that are closed due to high water marks. If you hunt on those areas, I strongly suggest when we have these periods of storms or heavy rains, before you go, to check and find out. Some of them, it's automatic. When a water level reaches a certain level on the gauge, they shut it down, and that is the case with that Maurepas Wildlife Management Area. So before you go, you might want to check those because those could possibly be closed. Another announcement I got, and this is the little strange side. If you are a deer hunter in Louisiana, you should be aware that there may be some escaped pen-raised deer and exotics that you'll encounter this season due to damage from Hurricane Laura and other storms. You know, we have a high fence program where exotic animals and pen-raised white-tailed deer are hunted in enclosures, and they are contained by high fences. But with all the storm damage to some of these fences, there's a very good chance a lot of these animals have escaped into the wild. And you, just for your own knowledge, now, if you have a Louisiana big game hunting license, in other words, if you are licensed to take deer in the state of Louisiana, you can take these free-ranging escaped, and the term used is alternative livestock animals. And I'm talking about deer like fallow deer, axis, sitka, pen-raised whitetails, elk, red deer, anything that is a hoofed animal, and you might even encounter a moose or a caribou. Who knows what's on some of these places? And if they have escaped, they're all fair game. Now, the deer usually have ear tags, if it's a pen-raised deer, to distinguish it from a native wild deer. But you can't always tell, you can't always see that. So you're allowed to take those. These animals are actually, they're not managed by Wildlife and Fisheries because they're not natural wild stock. Agriculture and forestry are the ones that oversee the high fence and hunting program. Well, actually, Wildlife and Fisheries has a hand in enforcing it, but as far as the livestock itself, it's handled by agriculture and forestry. Now, the next question is going to be, some of these white-tailed deer, they're impressive animals. I mean, they've got, you know, they've been genetically engineered to produce large racks, and the does often throw the bigger rack deer. These, if they escape into the wild and they interbreed with local deer, native species, it could produce some pretty impressive deer in some areas they're not used to having those because of the genetics to have those monstrous racks are not there. So this could change the face of some deer herds in a lot of areas. If you take one of these animals or if you just see one and you decide you don't want to shoot it, report it to the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery. You can contact them. If you look on the back of your hunting or fishing license, there's a toll-free number there. It's 800-442-2511. It's the same one to report outdoor violations and create some of these bad boy stories we tell you. There's also a page on their website, and it's too long for me to give you here, but if you just go to Wildlife and Fisheries for Louisiana, you'll find it there. There's a Contact Us page, and you can report it there. They're looking for that information on any of these animals and sightings, so participate in that. All right, unfortunately, the red snapper days for you Alabama offshore anglers, October 10th through 12th. It began at 12:01 a.m. this morning and is scheduled to run until midnight Monday. If you remember, the red snapper season was extended because the harvest quota was not totally filled. The limit, 2 fish per angler, 16-inch total length, minimum size. But the problem's going to be with these seas and conditions, nobody's going to be able to get out there. Maybe by tomorrow, later tomorrow, or maybe even for sure by Monday you could take advantage of it. But that's a shame that they had those 3 extra days and we end up getting a hurricane to screw it up. All right, we got a very busy Bayou Wild shooting week we had this week. We'll tell you what you're going to see in some upcoming episodes and also what's on if you haven't seen this week's show. Pretty good stuff. We'll be back with that. And also I got a couple of texts in from Justin and Gentilly and some of our other listeners. Text us. That number is 1-504-260-1870. Comments, questions, anything outdoors you want to talk about, that's the place to do it. We do it by text. It comes in real time, live and direct into the studio. And we'll be back to share them with you right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got some text messages coming in. Let's see who we've got coming up. I know Justin was in here this morning. Justin is a guy who lives in the Gentilly Wildlife Management Area, we call it. He says, we're thankful another storm missed us. Yeah, well, we are, but when it misses some people, it hits others. And our prayers and thoughts go again to those folks out in the Calcasieu, Cameron Parish area. He has a question. Is More Outdoors going to return? What Justin's talking about, More Outdoors was a two-hour program that immediately followed this one on HD radio and live stream. And due to the pandemic, we have limitations on the number of engineers that can enter into the studio. And until that changes, More Outdoors is on hiatus, which I'm going to say at least for the rest of this year. And what happens when we turn on January 2021? Not real sure, but I'll keep you posted. I miss it too, Justin. All right, here we go. Someone says, I was laughing when you just said laugh to stop from crying. Good morning, boo. One more day in life. Yeah, I got to keep a smiling face. Here's Joshua from Pearl River. Wants to know if we know anyone that teaches class on getting your captain's license. Joshua, there's a company called, it's pronounced Houston, but it's spelled and looks exactly like Houston Marine. They have always offered some pretty extensive classes, but I think for practical purposes and economics, the U.S. Coast Guard gives some of those classes. And they used to have a regular schedule, but I haven't heard of any of them lately. I know when Martha got her license, she took it, I think it was at Bass Pro. Some of the larger sporting goods stores will use their meeting rooms and facilities where they can give these courses out. If someone listening out there that knows of a course that's coming up or a place where you can find information on those, getting a charter captain's license, please text me, 504-260-1870, and we'll share that with our listeners. All right, here's one that says, I hope all our friends in Louisiana are doing okay. This is from Alabama. We're getting the outer bands here in Mobile now. At least it seems to be fast. That's from David Hubble. Yeah, David, I've been watching the radar, and that train effect is probably some of the heaviest rain on the entire out of the whole system, and it's well removed from Hurricane Delta, and it's popping up from the Gulf, but it looks like the tail end is starting to fizzle out as it moves eastward now and northward, and probably not going to be over you too much longer. I'm headed that way a little bit later on. All right, right after this quick 10-second pause, going to talk about Bayou Wild TV. What we shot this week and what you'll see if you tune it in later on this morning or tonight or any of the channels and YouTube where you can watch it. We're back with that. But first, we'll let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio. Yeah, you know, the scheduling has been a nightmare this year with the pandemic and the storms, and we had a trip planned down to Venice. We have a Louisiana legend down there that will remain nameless until we do that feature, and I think you'll enjoy it. We've already canceled it twice, but we're bound to determine we're going to get it shot pretty soon, and you'll see that on an upcoming issue. Episode. What we did shoot this week, a couple of really interesting features, dog deer tracking. We met a couple of trainers, Paul Couget. He's been on this radio program before, you may recall, and his daughter, Roxanne. I have a business, and they train dogs and hunters how to track wounded, injured deer. And they have recovered just an astronomical amount of deer, and it's gaining in popularity. And similar to retriever trials, they've actually got field trials and certifications. And we went into St. Bernard with them, and we did a mock track with a couple of their dogs. Very, very interesting, and you don't want to miss that one. Also, we went into the kitchen of Chef Romel Hernandez for some black drum fillets that he magically converted into a dish he calls Jewish white salad or white fish salad. And I got to tell you, that's some yummy stuff, and so are his pecan bars and a lot of other stuff. So that's a cooking feature. You'll see he and Martha Spencer doing that one in an upcoming episode. This week, if you haven't seen it yet, well, you can watch it again if you like, but we've got a wonderful waterfowl stories episode. Upland bird hunter, you may have seen her, Lainey Wick. She has Elsie and the new dog, Mina. We hunt quail and pheasant with her. She took her first teal hunt with us at Ryan Lambert, and she's got some comments about getting into duck hunting. And then if you want to see the most comprehensive waterfowl collection anywhere in North America, and I can make that claim because this man, friend of mine, P.J. Damari, has spent decades acquiring every species of goose and duck that exist in North America. He's got them mounted in his office. He lives in Mandeville, and we took a little tour with him and did a little story and got him to talk about some of the memories of those ducks. And there's also a corresponding story, if you pick up this month's issue of Martian Bayou Magazine, Colleen Orfanello wrote an excellent story about the same thing, calls it putting a feather in your hat with P.J. DeMar. Some good stuff. And then if you were lucky enough to bag some teal, and we have got some, Chef John Foltz cooks up some Boudin stuffed teal that he admitted he stole this recipe from an old hunting buddy. And, boy, it's a great one. It'll make your mouth water just watching. And, anyways, Bayou Wild TV, you know where it is. It airs in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and a lot of systems, cable systems, Cox Sports TV on Thursday and Sunday evenings at 7. And it's also on YouTube, wherever you want to watch it, whenever you want to watch it. Just go to BayouWildTV.com, and you can even find, what do they call that? When you watch all of the shows, there's a term for that, some kind of binge watching or something for Bayou Wild TV. A good day, maybe, when the weather's like it is to do that. All right, coming back after this, we got some more of the text messages coming in. We got some more infrastructure reports. We'll get some reports on some of damage, and maybe when you can get back out there and take part in some good fishing following Delta, the hurricane. We'll be right back after this. Still to come, Darryl Carpenter, Mike Gallo, Eric Mahabarak, and Ryan Lambert. They're your field reporters. We're back with them right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking our text message. We got a message in from the Lafayette Yacker. He said the show is a blessing to those of us who have the means to listen. Yeah, some folks are without power, without cell phone service, and all the rest. Those folks over around the Pecan Island to Calcasieu area. Wind has died down, no rain, just a lot of cleanup there in his area and around Lafayette. Kicking back with some fresh coffee. Day-old Boudin, come on, get some fresh stuff. But he does have AC and lights, and that's a wonderful thing these days. All right, thanks to you for that. If you want to text us, it's 504-260-1870. I did want to run down the results of last weekend's Kaisik Kayak Series. They kind of sandwiched that in between the bad weather and had some pretty impressive numbers showed up there. The winners of the redfish category was fifth place Daniel Compagno. Scott Farrow was in fourth place. Kirk Reasonover in third place. Terry Pham won second place. And first place redfish winner was Harris Schwing. There was three categories. There was also a bass category. Christopher Landry took fifth place. Daniel Compagno was fourth. Scott Farrow third. Terry Pham another second place. And Gustav Flair won the category with a first place bass. The trout category, fifth place went to Max Petrucco. Fourth place, Kirk Reasonover. Third place, Danny Compagno. Terry Pham, second place, and the first place winner of the trout category was Bryce Kennedy. Now, because he won three second places, Terry Pham scored the most, and he was the grand prize winner in the first ever Kaisik Kayak Series, and we'll keep you up to date. They're going to be taking that series into other areas, and we'll be giving you information on that. All right, last week we mentioned the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, kind of in a surprise decision, voted to delay any decisions on changing speckled trout management programs for at least 1 year. The motion will provide information that will be presented at the October 2021 commission. A year from now, they're going to update the biological data, maybe do an updated stock assessment, and maybe look at a basin-specific analysis. In other words, changing regulations and limits that are warranted on the basis of the habitat, where we might have a zone out by Calcasieu Lake, and then we'll have one in the middle around Grand Isle and another one on the east side, Venice, Lakes Pontchartrain, and Bourne area. I think that's a good idea myself, because those are different habitats, and they produce different grades, I guess you'd call them, of speckled trout. And then they also want to include a preference survey. There was a lot of surveys done in person and on email and online. A lot of people participated. But the preferences that were offered, the choices, the options for management changes, did not include a no regulation change. And they would like to see that on there because there's a lot of people who think that the 12-inch, 25 fish a day should remain in place. Actually, it's not in effect in Cameron and Calcasieu. It's 15 fish daily bag and no more than two over 25 there. But a lot of people think that we should keep the status quo and stick with that. So what do you think? I was asking last week if you got some comments on do you think speckled trout limit should be changed as far as the number you can keep per day or the minimum size that you can keep. I'd like to hear from you. 504-260-1870. And we also, in fact, a little while, we're going to be talking to Rad Trash. You're getting all the information on this next week's upcoming Star Awards banquet. It's going to be next Thursday. Now, I think I may have said Wednesday. It's actually Thursday, October the 15th, 5:30, Lamar Dixon Expo. And, of course, you know, we've had a lot of banquets, CCA, Ducks Unlimited, other organizations, Wild Turkey Federation, a lot of these nonprofit organizations who rely on banquet to fund their operations have not been able to hold them. But this is really special because they present the boats and the prizes, the merchandise prizes. They invite all the winners to come out. They have live and silent auction items. It's a big event. And this year might not quite be so big, but we will give you the information on where it is and how many tables are available. And if they still have some tickets available. We'll talk to Rad Trasher, the director of the CCA Star. That's the State Tournament Anglers Rodeo. All right, coming back after this, we're going to get to Darryl Carpenter. We'll get an update on what the situation is down in Grand Isle, Highway 1, those particular areas. That's what he updates us on. And we're back with his report And just 3 minutes after this break on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter, see what we can find out about what Delta has left us with down in the Grand Isle area. Good morning, Darrell, and boy, here we are again. Sounds like a recording each week, you know, talking about picking up the pieces after these storm surges come in and, you know, damage the coast and erode a little bit worse. What's the latest as far as access down there, if I guess we start with?
Well, Don, I would imagine, when the sun comes up, you're going to find out that everything's open. They closed it yesterday evening on that high tide. Of course, that was the high tide cycle. We did evacuate on the doom and gloom. And what I'm looking at on my surveillance cameras and everything, we didn't get any water. We got very little water, probably just enough to close that roadway. I would imagine now that we're off a high tide, it would be open. I can't imagine there would be a whole lot of wind damage or anything. I mean, yeah, they got some gusty, squally winds on the island. The biggest thing, I guess, is come daylight is to see what kind of erosion we had, to see what kind of erosion we have on that beach. And then, of course, it'll take us a few days to get out in the marsh and ride around and see what, if anything, got beat up in that marsh. But I'm going to assume, give it daylight, let them get some equipment in there. If there's maybe some lumber or road or just debris on the road. And I'm thinking it's going to be maybe one more night tonight. The storm moved so fast, unlike the other storms we had. Maybe one more night tonight on that high tide until some of that water gets out of the marsh. But other than that, we should be, thank God, open for business next week. I mean, you get ready to complain about it. We've missed over a month of business due to storms this year. But then we think about, you know, Kirk and our poor folks over there in Calcasieu. And, you know, we've lived through that. But I guess it doesn't give us a right to complain.
Yeah, you're right. And I think probably the worst of it's going to be some beach erosion, which, you know, Grand Isle has been dealing with that for years. Well, your experience following these kind of storms, fishing usually gets a big shot in the arm because a lot of salty water comes in, brings in some bait, might even get those storm minnows dislodged, and fishing could be really good in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Don, now after the last one, you got to remember it was a totally different setup. The last storm, and there's been so many, I don't even remember what it was, which one it was, but you know, we had several days of east wind, several days of south wind. The marsh was already flooded when the storm came through. And that storm moved real slow and stayed with us. The weather system stayed with us for several days. So that marsh, and actually we only had one or two tides since then that brought that water out of that marsh. So we're seeing massive schools of finger mullets. We're seeing massive schools of pogies getting ready to do their, you know, migration for the winter. The shrimp are still way up north in Lafitte. Lake Salvador, Bayou DuPont, that's where all the shrimp are. So, you know, there again, I'm going to stay on. I mean, I don't remember a marsh being flooded this late in the year like it is now. I'm going to stay on the thing that we're going to have a big run once we finally get some good tide cycles in and those shrimp start coming out. But, yeah, I mean, after the last storm we had, the water stayed clean. I mean, it took it a day or two to clean up. The water was beautiful clean, regardless of whether you were close to the coast or 40 miles up in the marsh. And, I mean, we were talking about massive schools of redfish and everything else that was swimming around. I got to believe that today, as that water's falling out, it's going to be a good day. And I got to think that once it calms down and settles down, we're going to really go into that late fall pattern where we're going to be doing both trout and redfish on the same anchor.
And I hope we can salvage some of that tuna season that was started off so good in very early October. Then these storms have just, rough seas have just canceled it and put everybody off. And boy, I mean, October's a big month for the offshore species and the fishermen there. Darrell, before you go, you know, the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission decided to delay any decision on changing speckled trout management changes after they already said that they determined the species was overfished. Your thoughts on that as an individual charter captain and also somebody very active with the Louisiana Charter Boat Association. What's your opinion on the department's action? Are you satisfied, happy they're going to take some more time to restudy it?
Yes. On a personal opinion, now this is speaking as me, yes, I think they took the right course. I think they took the right action. There were several questions brought up, even by some of their biologists on the inside, about where they're taking their strike net samples and so forth. So I am happy to see that the department is going to take a little while to really look at it again, review their sampling sites and so forth. I think it was the right action. I think we have some areas that may be in trouble, and a lot of it is due to our environment, our erosion issues. But I think there's a lot of areas that rebounded this year. I mean, I caught a lot of fish this year that were not year one fish. So I think we had a really good recruitment last year. And Lord, with the amount of, now we had extra effort this year with the COVID, but with the amount of time we've had to stay off the water this year, I got to believe we're going to have some really good recruitment this year also into those age two to age three, age four fish.
You know, one of the things that they brought up too was that they might look into basin specific regulations, meaning the regulations. We have different regulations for Cameron and Calcasieu because there's different habitats there, but maybe even extend that more into, you know, in your particular area, you're known for quantity of fish more so than the big fish, the trophy fish that come from either the Venice area or the Calcasieu area. So do you think that's a good move to maybe put in more different zones with more regulations? I know sometimes it can confuse them because people are not sure what the regulation is where they're fishing. But, you know, and I'm talking about people that are typical weekend fishermen. You guys in the charter boat industry certainly know all the ins and outs and what applies to you. But do you think
right. That's
a good suggestion, too, to maybe do it basin specific?
Well, I think they have said for years that L.A. Creole was capable of doing that. So I think it's a really good thing to look at it. I think it needs to be applied on a very, very careful basis, because I think what you're going to have is you're going to have local depletion issues at that time. You know, if, let's say, Barataria Bay stays at 12 and 25, whereas Vermilion Bay drops to lower limits, lower than what Calcasieu is right now, then what you're going to have is we're a transient coast. You're going to have, all of a sudden, all those boats concentrated where you can do 12 and 25. And that's what kind of concerns me a little bit about basin specific.
Gotcha. All right, Darryl, thanks so much. Always interesting, and hope when daylight shows the damage is what we think it is, not very extensive to the Grand Isle area.
I can tell you right now, Don, I'm robbing every window air conditioner I can find out of everything I got in Baton Rouge, because I'm one of them that's in the dark and it's getting hot.
I understand. Darryl, thanks again for the report. We'll check with you next week. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
You find him at Reel, R-E-E-L, Screamers.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break at the top of the hour. When we come back, we've got Ryan Lambert. We've got Captain Eric Mohabarak with the Paddler's Report, and also Captain Mike Gallo. They all join us right after this timeout. And thanks go out to announcer Lynn Rollins for that intro, and also Reed Allaman singing that song Cocodry, a parody on, of course, the song Kokomo. All right, glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning, and a lot of people are doing the we bypassed another one, but unfortunately some of our audience, our listening audience, our friends, our fellow outdoorsmen in the southwestern part of Louisiana again hit hard. I'm sure when the daylight comes we'll get a better assessment of the damage. I know there's been some flooding and some wind damage yet again, a lot of power outages in that area as the suffering in that area continues. Well, hopefully we can make it better for them. All right, first hour, we covered a lot of ground, and one of the things we talked about, if you happen to miss it, deer hunters are being asked by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to be on the lookout for some escapees. I'm talking about pen-raised white-tailed deer and some exotics. You know, I can imagine old Boudreaux going to be hunting down the swamp, and all of a sudden he's going to see this big spotted deer with a huge rack come walking through. And axis deer, fallow deer, sika, maybe some elk, red deer, other exotics possibly have escaped from some of the enclosures on these high fence locations. And Wildlife and Fisheries, because they are not the agency that has jurisdiction over those animals, it is the Department of Agriculture and Forestry, you got the go-ahead. You got the green light to take them, and be sure to report them, either sightings or harvest, either one. Contact the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries if it's after hours. Use that toll-free number. It's on your hunting and fishing license, 800-442-2511. We're also asking you, like we just talked to Captain Darryl about the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission decision to delay the speckled trout management changes for a year. They're going to get more stock assessment data, more biological data, and you know, maybe consider basin-specific regulations. And also put in a preference, an opinion for fishermen that would include a status quo, no regulation change option. And you know, we'd like to hear from you. Text us, 504-260-1870. Or if you got questions or comments, still looking for anyone that has information on Coast Guard captain's license classes. You know, you have to get a, to be a charter captain in Louisiana, you need a license from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, but before that, you have to get a U.S. Coast Guard approved license, and there's a course to take, and there's a fee associated with it, and then you're qualified. In fact, that has a lot to do with our bad boy story, which you're going to hear coming up in just a little while. All right, we also have Mike Gallo coming up with us. He is the Born on the Bayou guy. I got a fishing trip scheduled with him on Monday. We'll find out what he's been doing during these down days when fishermen can't get out and fish, when it's just absolutely conditions are impossible, and when he thinks those might improve for both he and you to get out and fish the Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, Lake Pontchartrain areas. That's what we do. We got fishing reports and other hunting and outdoor information for you. Been doing it now. We're in our 31st year on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Be right back after this. Now we can listen to a little more of that, kind of liking that this morning. That brings in Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures of Louisiana, whose adventures have probably been close to home the last few days. Captain Mike, you've been landlocked for a while. Kind of unusual for an October for you, huh?
Yes, Don, October is generally really a busy month because it's a very productive month. And we fished until Wednesday, and then all my guys decided to head for, you know, if you're from California, this is not something you're used to. So they heard storm in the Gulf, and they were making plans to depart. And I didn't blame them. They were trying to move their flight up. And, you know, as long as they feel safe, then that's good. They've been coming fishing with me now for almost 10 years. So didn't want to make them worry and tell them, oh, everything's going to be fine. Stay a couple of days. Let them go and feel comfortable. They caught plenty of fish the days they were here. So they're already making plans for coming back next year. But it gave me a little time to pick things up around the lodge and secure things and, you know, just tidy up, which I've gotten really good at with all the storms that have had New Orleans as a bullseye.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, Mike, this thing moved through pretty quickly. It wasn't one of the ones that sat out there and pushed and pushed and pushed. So the impacts to the eastern part of the state, your area, probably going to be pretty minimum. We've got high tides, but that's going to be rocking and rolling out of here. When you say fishing should be, maybe not getting back to its prime October time, but when things will be fishable, maybe tomorrow afternoon even?
Yeah, we're under a small craft warning right now that will end potentially at 1 p.m. Wind forecast is projected to drop down to around 15. Sunday's forecast is winds around 10, and Monday's forecast is 5 or less. So the water will move out. Hopefully tides get back to normal. Good thing is the water is relatively high, so it's probably fairly clean. Even if not by Sunday, it should clean up quite a bit. And, you know, you get back to fishing. I would assume, looking at, you know, past history of storm fronts that come through, a lot of fish seek shelter in deep holes or deep bayous. So when I go back fishing Monday, we may be in a pond, but it won't be a pond too far from a deep bayou. And I'm just thinking those fish will fan out slowly from those areas they run to, and I'll be close to those areas when we start and just go from there. You know, you look for your holy trinity, you know, the clean moving water with bait in the area, and a popping cork's going to be a great search bait because it covers a lot of area. And, you know, it's almost like starting over, but that's what we'll do to find fish, and once we figure them out, we'll catch as many as we can.
That's fall fishing ahead. Mike, while I got you here, we got a little bit of time. Tell me your opinion on the wildlife and fisheries. Kind of a surprise decision to delay any decisions on changing speckled trout regulations as far as daily bag and also the minimum size, to extend that for more studies for another year. Are you pretty happy with that?
Well, I'm like you. I did think that they were going to go with the 13.5-inch length and the 15 fish minimum. And then once the meeting was taking place, they decided to push it back a year. And I just think, you know, it's just like a fishing trip. I can always make better decisions with more information. You know, I can speculate what's going to happen on Monday, but when we get to the marsh, and see the height of the water and the clarity of the water, then we can make even better decisions because we see what's going on. And I always sort of deferred to the fact that, you know, in the 80s, redfish were scarce. And our wildlife and fisheries stepped in and did studies and enacted a creel limit and a size limit, and they've really come back strong. So if they need one more year to make a really good decision to get our trout stocks as healthy as our redfish stocks are, well, of course, I'm all for it.
Got it. Well, the only risk, I think, is if they say that they are being overfished, are we hurting the species even more by waiting a year? That would be the downside of it. But according to the reports and that were coming in, you know, even with the increased amount of pressure because people were just had more time to fish because of the coronavirus, you know, I can't really say that, you know, we depleted them even more because they were showing up very good. So, you know, a lot of people are unhappy. They wanted to see a reduction in the limit. But, you know, I guess if you're going to err on the side of caution, there's no such thing as too much information when you're trying to make a decision that affects people's livelihoods and their recreational opportunities for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you definitely can make a better decision with more information. It does seem like the, you know, we were catching more speckled trout earlier in the year. It's still early October, and it's pretty common to go out and catch 20 to 40, depending on where you go and how you fish, all the conditions that you're given to fish for that day. So it does seem like they're on a comeback. There's plenty of small ones out there, which is always good to see. So, yeah, I agree. More information will certainly help.
Mike, somebody interested in getting a fall or even a wintertime trip? Because I know your bookings, especially with some of these you've had to rearrange, are getting pretty tight over there. Tell them how to get a hold of you and check that schedule to see if they can fit them in.
Oh, we got plenty of good captains to take you if I'm not available. But the best way to reach me is the old reliable telephone. That number is 985-781-7811. Or you can find me on my website, aaofla.com, or your website, dontheoutdoorsguy.com.
All right, Michael, very good. Look forward to doing some catching and cooking with you on Monday, and we're all excited about it. We'll see you then, my friend, and see you next week, too.
Sounds good, Don. See you then.
All righty, there he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, and we'll be right back after this with our Paddler's Report. Captain Eric Mahabarak joins us. If you like to fish in a kayak, he's got some post-storm tips for you. Also got lots of text messages. I'll try to get to as many as I can. If you'd like to get one in, it's 504-260-1870. And we're back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I want to remind you, those reports you just heard with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO, $179 a year. They'll give you peace of mind, fuel drops wherever you need it, tow you in 24/7, jumpstart you for electrical problems. They're on standby for you 24/7. They're like having AAA on the water. To get signed up, go to CETO.com or dial them up at 504-301-4545 and talk to Captain Chris. I hate to be stroking in these winds today. The Paddler's Report, which is coming up momentarily, is with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by Massey's. You're going to find them in Mid-City, New Orleans, Covington, where they do rentals of kayaks for paddling and fishing along the Chifuncta, Bayou Lacombe, Bayou Liberty, all the North Shore rivers. Also, they got a store in Baton Rouge, and you're going to find the best kayak fishing models from brands like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, and Native Watercraft. Check out the websites, MasseyOutfitters.com. Also on Facebook. And Captain Eric Mahabarak joins us now. Eric, did you sleep well last night with that wind and rain blowing? Eric, I think we had Eric there. Maybe not. Well, we'll see if we can get him because I know he had a pretty decent report on pre-storm fishing. Maybe we'll get him back. But Port Sulphur was one of the areas where he found plenty of redfish. They were in the upper end of that slot range, you know, where you got the 27-inch, you know, and they get real close to that 27, those 25, 26. Those are the really fine ones. Also, Lake Hermitage, there's some speckled trout. Look for birds there using shrimp-style baits like the rattling shrimp. And down in Venice, Yellow Cotton's got some redfish and a couple big trout were caught. It says all the tournaments will kind of push back until further notice, and you need to check on their websites to get them rescheduled. All right, looking at we've got Eric now. All right, Eric, missed you there, my friend.
Hey,
what happened?
You?
The wind blew you out or what?
No, man, I don't know what just happened there. I was on the phone on hold, and you kind of cut me off there. Everything's fine over where I'm at. Port Sulphur did have high water about 11:50 last night. It was over the road at Happy Jack. That was a few hours ago. High tide should be 5:45 in that area. Maybe later on this afternoon, the water will be going down, it looks like. So hopefully we'll be getting some installments around there. But I think things have fared pretty well over in this area from what I can tell so far this morning.
What kind of tips can you give kayakers for post-storm fishing?
This week I went out and we had a trip on Thursday. Didn't catch a bunch of fish, but caught some real nice fish. Just under that 27, caught one over 27. That was on a gold spoon, stuff like that. Lake Hermitage, we did well, caught some speckled trout under the birds, got lucky on that one. There in Yellow Cotton, still catching a few fish. Right now, what I would do with the water flow is fishy drains. Mike had said it earlier. Look for clear water, moving water, and look for bait. And, you know, he'd given some great advice on using a popping cork as a search bait. Also, a chatter bait is another good bait to hit something you can move along and hit different cuts and things like that. I think the fishing's going to be incredible. One of the things that I did notice this week when I was out is that the grass, which is bad for the duck hunters also, all the grass in the ponds are pretty much gone. And I'm imagining, at least on the west side where I was at, the grass was pretty beat up and gone out of most of the ponds. And I find that the shrimp hold really well in the grass and the smaller bait fish and stuff. And that kind of scattered the fish out. So until we get some grass back, it's going to be maybe tough, maybe not. It just depends. We're getting ready to go in that winter phase. The redfish should be piling in, though. You know, it's October, so we know how the redfish work during October. Red October is always a good time. But just use search baits until you find them, and, you know, you might get them piled up and sit in one spot and load the boat.
Eric, if you could pick one spot for somebody to do a little freshwater fishing, you know, we know that the trout move in during the fall and the redfish, the big ones, come in close to the coast. But if somebody wanted to do some freshwater fishing, what would be one spot you might want to send them to for maybe some fall bass fishing or pick up some late brim?
You know what? Des Almonds isn't far from the New Orleans area and other areas on the west side of that also. Des Almonds is a pretty good place to go fishing a kayak. You know, you just got to kind of find that clear water, too, also. Same thing, find the clear water and start fishing. You know, I've heard a few reports of people catching some on some frogs, you know. But, you know, Des Almonds is a place that's overlooked. And I would kind of suggest that area that way. You know, it's close to the metropolitan area, you know, and I forget how far it is from Baton Rouge. But it should be about the same distance, I imagine. But I would say Des Almonds, you know.
Where's a good put-in point?
Right under the bridge and start going.
Where's a good
going.
Put-in point?
They got that boat launch under the bridge on 90. You can just put in right there and go down the wall and start fishing the trees and stuff like that. You can go either right or left. And you're just going to have to find the fish and then determine what they want to eat. That's always a good one with the bass.
Yeah, and make sure you bring a bottom rig with you, too, because guess what? Des Almond, catfish capital of the world. Don't forget that. They got some nice catfish.
That is true. Yep, that is for sure. Bring your old trout bellies, a box of worms, and just rig up a bottom rig. You can even use a sliding cork with the catfish in that area. You know, we've done that before also. We actually fish the bridge. It's usually during the spring, though. And get catfish, you know, off that bridge with sliding corks. But, yeah, definitely hit it up. I mean, that's a good place to start.
All right, Eric, somebody wants to go with you and part of your business, Louisiana Kayak Company. They've got your website. Now, you're on my site. Give them the telephone number if they want to give you a call and find out about what you provide and what they need to do to get a kayak trip going.
Yeah, just give me a ring, 504-313-8292. And we'd love to help you out in any way we can.
Sounds good. Okay, Eric, thanks for the report as always. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Be careful out there.
All right, Don. Have a great one. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Captain Eric Muhabarak. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to catch you up on our listener text messages. Got some comments on the wildlife and fishery decision not to change speckled trout regulations at least for 1 year. I've also got Ryan Lambert. Boy, I tell you, I know he's going to have to be a little depressed. The SAV took another hit with the storm surge. And then we're going to close it out with Red Trasher, director of the CCA, telling us about the upcoming Star Awards Banquet next Thursday evening. We'll tell you when, where, and how. All that's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, catching up quickly on text messages. This one from our friend the Irish Coonass over in Alabama. Hoping, praying everyone is all right. They are recovering from Sally, and they know how it is. Praying for us in Louisiana. Thank you, Irish. And here's one says, with regard to the speckled trout, if they're going to increase the minimum size, they need to make it 13 or 14. This 13-and-a-half-inch stuff is ridiculous. In Mississippi, they moved it up to 15 inches. His text says, went on an air gun squirrel hunt Wednesday, having hunted various countries for a variety of game. It was refreshing to focus on basic hunting skills. The quiet nature of air guns and promise of fox squirrels was exhilarating for a man 77 years young and enjoying life. Understand, Doug, and man, that's absolutely getting back to basic squirrel hunting, a wonderful thing that really is underutilized. Here's one says, Don, a study out of Texas proven the top producers of baby trout are in the 18 to 24 inch range. A 10 fish slot limit from 18 to 24 would be a good start. I think you would mean that you would, that's the opposite of a slot limit. Slot limit's what you keep inside of that. And if the study says 18 to 24 are the best producers of reproducers, that is, then you would want to keep those in the water. So I guess you would keep those under 18 and over 24 rather than inside the slot limit. Here's one that says, I live in Oak Harbor. I fish from the bank. I started catching speckled trout last week of September. Storms we've had so far have flushed out Lake Pontchartrain. We have clean, salty water. We're set up to have one of the best fall fishing seasons ever. Hope you're right. Here's one looking for Jeff Brule's report. He'll be back with us next week. Here's one, want to know where the storm is, getting strong occasional gust in Tylertown. Well, it's moving into northern Mississippi, Arkansas, parts of Tennessee, except for that one weird tail that is now in Alabama, across moving east of Mobile, moving into the Florida area and upwards towards the northeast coast, I guess. And here's one says, my best all in Hurricane Zone. Really, Don, the song you played just after 6 a.m. you called Kokodry. Really, Don, those of us who have been listening to the show for years know it's the Don Dubuque song. Well, if you've been listening all these years, you'll know that every once in a while I put out some not totally accurate information to make sure you're listening and checking. And you lived up to it. You caught it. You're right. Kokodry's the one we play at the end of the song, not the rejoin at the middle of the program. Good work, 8480. By the way, where is area code 812? Where are you listening from? Text me back. Here's one says, Louisiana's got a long history of putting off decisions like the speckled trout. Think about casinos, sports betting, etc. And for the person that wanted to know about captain's license for Coast Guard approved, Captain Roy's Marine Training in Texas. It's around Baytown. Don't know if that's close enough for you. Captain Roy's Marine Training is a place that one of our listeners says offers it. All right, right after this quick station identification, 10-second pause, it's the case of the bogus charter captain. Right after we let our local stations identify themselves along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Sergeants Edward Ridgel and Villery Reggio were on patrol in Venice recently when they encountered Robert Bennett and three fishermen on his boat possessing saltwater fish. During the license inspection, the agents noticed that the three occupants had non-resident three-day guide passenger licenses, which are available when you fish with a licensed charter boat guide. The three men informed agents they paid Bennett for a guided fishing trip. Bennett was unable to produce a U.S. Coast Guard captain's license. Agents also found Bennett in possession of a Louisiana ID with a Monroe, Louisiana address and a Mississippi driver's license with Louisiana resident recreational hunting and fishing licenses. Bennett admitted he was guiding without the required licenses, and the agents informed him he had obtained his resident recreational hunting and fishing privileges fraudulently because he does not meet the qualifications of a bona fide Louisiana resident. If convicted of failing to comply with charter boat guide regulations and obtaining license by fraud, facing maximum fines of $1,450 and up to 120 days in jail, is 36-year-old Robert C. Bennett of Purvis, Mississippi, our bad boy of the outdoors. Oh, I sure hope those three men he charged for the fishing trip were big tippers to help him pay his fine. Yep, you got to be a bona fide Louisiana resident to get licenses. And if somebody's going to fish on your boat with a guide license, which is a great bargain for him, you got to have a guide license. Maybe he's the one who's looking for the course. Not sure. All right, we come back after this. Ryan Lambert joins us. We'll get an update there. And I found out who the 812 was, and I know that person that caught the inaccuracy on the song. You're very, very observant, Deb. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your call. All right, we'll be back with Ryan Lambert right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. We call him the Plastic Man, one Captain Ryan Lambert. And Ryan, you know, what can you say? Hannah, Laura, Beta, Delta, Cristobal, Marco, Sally. So I wonder we got any submerged aquatic vegetation at all left in our marshes. What do you think the damage is going to be from this one?
Oh, it's already gone. I mean, we don't have any aquatic vegetation. It's wiped out. You know, they got some on the west side of the river, but that this might have got that, you know. It was supposed to go, you know, maybe 2 to 4 foot on the west. It's been a heck of a year, buddy. You know, and people that's not from here, shoot, they canceled 6 days out, so we lost 6 more days at least off of this one, you know. And right now, I could be fishing right now. It's so nice.
And that was yeah, really, you could. It's
that was seeing one pass, and then you know, blowing like crazy that last night, raining. I get up and it's almost dead calm, and I can see stars. I said, "What in the world?" So that one really moved out quick, but I'm sure it left a bowling ball path where it came through because it wasn't nothing pretty.
Yeah.
So we go back.
Well,
to
we
it,
can maybe we can look forward to some good fishing. You know, a little stimulation, a little salt water pushed in. River's going to continue to drop, and you know maybe we'll end up with a good fall fishing. And you know, whatever few ducks come in, we'll take some shots at them.
That's right. This guy, the fish backed all the way to Lake Pontchartrain with all these tidal surges. But, you know, it's going to be a good one. You know, the river's low and the falls here, the trout are moving in, and the reds are crazy. So, you know, we'll be fine. The fishing is going to be great. You know, just we had so much book this week. Goodness gracious. I mean, we've lost just week after week after week between the virus and now six hurricanes. It's been a heck of a year. You know, I'm just like, come on, 21.
I'm with you. Ryan, I've been asking everybody their opinion on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission decision to delay making any changes on the speckled trout for another year, give them time to get some more data, another stock assessment, maybe another option that would require no change or maybe change things within different basins. What is your thoughts on that decision they made, given what you've seen? You know, speckled trout it's not just a hobby for you. It's part of your living.
I think that they could use Facebook and do a better job than what they're doing to see where the fish are, how many there are. You know, you could go there and see what areas are catching fish, what areas are not catching fish, the size of the fish. You can see everything on Facebook, you know. I think it'd be a lot better than the gill net theory we've been using since the beginning of time. Because our estuary is moving so much. I mean, 6 miles inland, you know, where you used to have land, there's no land. But I see the fish making a comeback since the freeze of 16. It seems like they're more dispersed, but it's going to take some more time for them to get everywhere. Now, to me, if they would lower the limit, and now, even if it was temporary, we'd have had a much faster comeback with a lot nicer fish. But, you know, there's just so much public opinion in it that they have to do with, you know, I think a lot of it is pressure versus science. So it is what it is.
No doubt. Yeah, well, so, you know, we'll eventually arrive at some decision on it. But, you know, if they go to similar to what we did with Lake La Creole, and you mentioned Facebook, but, you know, if they do where they get people to report on a consistent daily basis, I mean, I can't say that this thing did not work for red snapper. We have got plenty of red snapper out there. The La Creole, we're coming right up to the quota and maybe going a little bit under. If they kind of did the same program with Speckletrout, I think you brought up a very important point that, you know, you can't use old technology to do modern management practices. And we didn't have a lot of access back when they did the old Gillnet surveys and things. Things have changed now, and I think they should change.
Yeah, because, well, they have a database that's in a certain area, so they keep using a certain area. Well, that area is not good like it used to be. But, you know, I don't want to criticize them. They got a tough enough job already. But, you know, you know, maybe the LA Creole would work better, but we have to improve what we do, and you know, people should be glad to help. You know, if they look at snapper, it proves that there's more out there. It proves that you know what we catch. I mean, anything that we could do to help them is fine with us. You know, and a lot of people, they're spying on us. No, they're trying to make it better for everybody. So, you know, anything that we could do to help, we'd be more than happy to help.
Absolutely, and that's coming from now. Conservationist of the Year. By the way, congratulations on that again. I know a lot of people have been commenting about that. They're seeing your picture and words getting out on that award you won. It's very prestigious. And again, congratulations from the whole audience.
What an honor it was. So now we have to count ducks.
Go ahead.
Mexico is solid, full of ducks right now already. So a lot of it's bypassing all the damage and going south. So at least I'll get a shot at some down there. You know, we've been through hurricanes before where it wiped out everything, and we still killed ducks. It's just going to be a little tougher, and we're going to have to work a little harder. That's all.
Yeah, well, no problem. You know, I was just going to tell you, too, I hope you win another award. So Chef Romo will come back down here and cook. That guy, he heard us the other day. We went over to his place to film a cooking feature. That guy, he's got some food over there. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, he does. He's a mess. We love him. He does, you know, him and Blaine Gilead both do all our events at the house. And he takes care of the bigger events. And they do such a wonderful job. When they come in your house, they do everything. The food is great. When they leave, your house is spotless. I mean, they do a great job. And he is such a character. I love him. You know, and then he thanks
you. Yeah, he is.
Because they're both from Honduras. So I think they're related. But, y'all went over there.
He's a great guy. He's fun to be around.
Yeah, did y'all
cook wild game. We did a Jewish whitefish there. A wild drum.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we're not finished with him by any means. We're gonna go back.
We're going to bring him on the boat one day.
Oh, that would be great. We got to do that. Oh, yeah, he's
bring
a
him on the boat, then we'll do a couple of cooking sections somewhere at the lodge or whatever. So,
bring him on a duck trip. You know, maybe do a casting blast with him. That'll be fun.
We could do that. Let's get together and do that then. All right, my friend. Well,
Sounds good. Ryan, thanks for the report. And
okay, no problem. Y'all just be safe, and we pray for our friends in the West because they got hammered again.
Yes, they did. All right, Ryan, we'll catch up with you again next week. Thanks for the reports, as always.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Coming back after this. All right, Rad Trasher is next. We're going to talk about the upcoming CCA Star Awards Banquet. Rescheduled, it's on for this coming Thursday night. He's got details right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, those of you that have been attending the CCA Louisiana Star Awards Banquet for years know it's been historically held at Live Oak Arabians in Baton Rouge, a wonderful setting. This year, that not being possible, it has been moved to the Lamar Dixon Expo Center this coming Thursday. The director of the Star Tournament, Rad Trasher, joins us now. And, Rad, if you can, tell us, though, what we need to know about seating arrangements, social distancing, ticket availability, and how are tables going to be set up at this new facility?
Gotcha, Don. Yeah, we had to move over for a handful of rules that apply only to Baton Rouge. But also with Lamar Dixon, I got to have a facility that's about three times the size of what we're used to. So we've got a 72,000 square foot building. We're going to space it out and basically set it up restaurant style. Typically, as you know, we have, you know, we sell tables of eight to most banquets, and then we have a lot of walk-in traffic. Well, for this go-around, we're going to set it in tables of two, four, six, or eight. All you have to do is get online at ccalouisiana.com or ccastar.com. You can click on there, and you can reserve the table that you want. All tables will be reserved like a restaurant. No walk-ins, no extras to your table, and so on. And so then we're going to ask everybody to come in with a mask, be seated by a hostess, and then once you get to your table with your crew, you've got to do what you want as you typically would in a restaurant. So it should be a fun night. You know, it won't be exactly the same, but we do have a few seats left. Obviously, we're having to cap it, but I think we're going to have a great crowd and a lot of fun. And obviously, look, part of us wanting to pull this off was about all these winners. You know, you hate to – people shoot for this award for a long, long, long time. And when they win, we really didn't want to just have to mail them a plaque.
Got it. Of course, the awards, they present the truck, the boat, winners, all the merchandise prizes. That's the highlight of it. Of course, you're going to have your live and silent auctions where you can get some of those bargains too?
Absolutely. We will definitely have live and silent auctions, tons of raffles. It's going to be a full-fledged banquet. It's just going to be in a lot bigger place with a lot more spread out. But all in all, I think it's really going to be fun. People have kind of embraced it and understand the parameters of what we have to deal with. And I think it's going to be a jam-up night. I think a lot of people are you know, looking for an excuse to get out of the house.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll get some nice, gorgeous October weather as we typically do. $50 per person. Rad, give us that website once again if somebody wants to reserve a 2, 4, 6, or 8 table.
The easiest way, go to ccastar.com. There's a bar right across the header that asks you to reserve your table there, and it's very easy. Let us know. We'd love to have you watch $500,000 in prizes walk out the door that night.
All right. Look forward to seeing you there, Ryan. Thanks, and a great job again on yet another successful rodeo during a very trying year. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
All righty. There he goes, Rad Trasher. All right, there it is. Okay, Deb, the news chick. You see that? This is the Cocodrie song. Or is that the Don Dubuque song? Huh? She knew the difference. It's the Don Dubuque song. She nailed it. All right, we'll be back again next week and hope you'll join us. We do this from 5 to 7 a.m. each and every Saturday morning. See Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.